Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. We're continuing our evening series entitled Reality Check. And the section we're going to concentrate on this evening is verses 18 to 27. This is the Word of God. It's headed Warning Against Antichrist. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you. You do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Now, we shouldn't be surprised that the Word of God, written hundreds, if not thousands of years ago, applies to today. And that was the purpose of one of the reasons why God gave us the Scriptures. It was because it was meant to guide us through all seasons, through all times, and through all ages. It is transcendent. It transcends time. And we should therefore not be surprised that some of the things that John was writing about here and the errors and the heresies that were written about in 1 John are still alive and well today. You probably know the phrase, what goes around comes around. Basically, what was going around in those days is coming around again. God's word is eternal. And this word for this evening, hopefully what I want to show you, is that one of the heresies that the early church was dealing with is not very far from us today. You may know that 1 John was written to the early church, and an early church that was suffering from a heresy called Gnosticism. No, that sounds like an awful thing, like a disease. G-N-O-S-T-I-C, Gnostic teaching. And the Gnostics more or less taught that to get close to God, you needed some higher, secret, mysterious teaching. And that what went on in church, the ordinary things of church, the mundanities of church, weren't good enough. And they also felt that material things, that matter was bad. So Jesus couldn't have become a real human being because physical things are bad. God is good, but the world is evil. So Jesus couldn't have been a fully human person. He was spirit. He only seemed to be human. And so there are various things wrapped up in the Gnostic teaching about this secret higher teaching to get to God, the fact that matter was bad, that your body is evil in itself, and all this was wrapped up in this. And these people had infiltrated the early church quite markedly in a lot of places. And in the churches that John was writing to, he was trying to counter this teaching, this false teaching, this heretical teaching of the Gnostics. But ultimately, any heresy is man opposing God. And behind mankind opposing God, of course, is the liar of liars, Satan, the evil one. the Antichrist. Anti means against. Satan is called by Jesus as the great liar, the father of lies. And behind every heresy lies Satan, the liar. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, it was Satan, the liar, who whispered into their ears, "Did God really say? Why would God deny you that? Would God really know better than you?" So behind all the heresies, behind mankind in their war against God, it's Satan really who's there. David Koizis says this, "The human capacity for adapting the environment to meet human needs, especially in the accelerated form we have experienced in recent centuries, has arguably tempted us to imagine that we are masters of the world, that we are authors of our own destiny. It has seduced us into forgetting that we are not God." And that is the ultimate lie of the devil, that we are God. We've got to the point where the contemporary culture in which we live is inherently hostile to the idea and experience of authority. And Satan is behind this. And John, in writing to the church here, tries to give them a reality check. And what I want to do this evening, in a short time, is to show, hopefully, what John's saying then to the Gnostic, against the Gnostic teaching, is actually very contemporary to today and applies to today. Three things that he says to the church to counteract the strategy of the liar. They're nothing very out of the ordinary, nothing that you haven't heard before, but they're important. Counteract the liar with three things. First of all, verse 19, counteract the liar with the church. Counteract the liar with the church. Christ and his church go together. In John's time, and in our time, you will hear people say things like, "I can have Jesus, but I can't take the church." Now, once you hear phrases like that, you're getting into Gnostic territory. And I certainly hear those phrases today. In verse 19, John has a sense that there are people in the visible church, but they have left the church. They have decided that they know better than the church, and they have moved outside of it. Now, while being in church is no guarantee of orthodoxy, it helps to surround yourself with right-minded people who believe that the Bible is true. It helps to submit yourself to leadership, to authority, and to accountability. The church provides good boundaries which help us to be healthy as Christians. One of the ways in which we persevere in the faith, and one of the ways in which we show that we are actually Christians, is to stay committed to the church. Jesus says, "Those who persevere to the end will be saved." And what John says here in verse 19 is that there's some who have gone out from the church. They have disowned us. They've gone off on their own way. They think they know better than us. But actually, it shows that they are not of us. It shows that they are not truly Christians in the first place. So long-term membership in the church is a help to us counteracting the strategies of Satan. It means that we are subject to the regular teaching of God's Word as we attend church regularly, week by week. We're praying with God's people, we're worshiping with God's people, and we're coming under the authority of the eldership, of the leaders. It is good to be in the visible professing church. Now, I know churches are a mixture of those who are not Christians, who are Christians, but it's still better to be in the church. And that is why membership is important. Increasingly, what is happening in church life or in the world is that people will say, "Well, I'll go to that church, but I'll not actually become a member of it. I'll kind of keep that at a distance." But membership is important. It ties you in. It gives you ownership. In a Presbyterian church, it gives you voting rights, which is a good thing, because that means you can influence the direction of the church. It also places you under the authority of the leadership. God sets in place authority structures in the world, institutions in the world that are good for us: family, government, church. These are institutions that are good for us. In Romans 13, Paul speaks about submitting ourselves to the governing authorities. And remember, he's speaking in the time of Rome, when many Christians were persecuted. He says, submit yourselves to the governing authorities. They are there to do you good. In a church context, Paul says to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Keep watch over the flock. The elders are commanded to keep watch over the flock. Now, what is the flock? Are the people who live in Leeds or Manchester or Southampton, are those the flock which the elders have to look after? Well, plainly no. The flock is a defined membership. If you ask a shepherd which sheep are his and which are not his, he will know. He knows who are his flock is. Some of them even give names to their sheep. And so it is in the church. In a local church, we are to be members coming under authority. The elders have oversight and responsibility. And what John is saying here is that those who have left the church are no longer coming under the authority of the leadership. They have decided that they know better. But in doing that, they are showing that they are not truly Christ's. So this is the first strategy, to counteract the liar, is to come under the authority of the church. Secondly, he says in verses 21 to 25, the second strategy for counteracting the liar, and this makes sense, is to trust in the truth, to live by the truth, to allow the truth to shape. And by truth, he of course means the scriptures, Old and New Testament. He means the truth as revealed in Jesus Christ. Now, the liar is not interested in the truth. As I've said, Jesus says he's the father of lies. We as Christian people need to put a high premium on the truth. As you know, in the days of the judges in the Old Testament, it says everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And it was chaos. What God wants us to do is to be invested in the truth. The Gnostics distrusted the truth. They felt they had a better truth, a higher truth, a secret truth that was only revealed to certain people. They had a special teaching. And so John directs the people to the truth of the scriptures. He says, you already have the truth. You have the scriptures. They speak of Jesus. So do not deny that Jesus has come from God, like the Gnostics do. No, Jesus has come. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He has fulfilled all the prophecies. So this group of people propagated this false teaching. And whether they were forced out or whether they just left of their own volition, which I suspect happened, going off saying there's a higher way, they were departing from the true way. David Jackman says, this does not mean that everyone who leaves a church is antichrist, but when a group separates itself into an elite, holier-than-thou huddle, claiming a deeper understanding or experience, beware. It will not be long before unbalanced teaching begins to lead its adherents away into error. So beware if someone says to you, what our church is teaching is unexceptionable. There's more. There's a higher teaching. There's a special teaching. Little alarm bells should be ringing, because that's exactly what the Gnostics said. And they were moving further and further and further away from revealed truth as it was revealed in the truth of Scripture. Can I encourage you to the ordinary, mundane reading of Scripture day by day by day by day? It's a bit like taking vitamin pills. A day or two, you don't really notice, but you keep taking them, and it strengthens you. The cumulative impact is seen over time. This is a counteraction to the liar, the truth of Scripture. Build that into your hearts. Build that into your heads. Build that into your minds. And then thirdly, John speaks about the anointing in verses 20 and 27. Christ is the anointed one, and when we trust in him, he, by his Spirit, anoints us with the anointing so that we become little Christs. We are the anointed. And he does this by the Holy Spirit. Just as in the Old Testament, the priest received the anointing oil that flowed down upon him, so whenever we entrust our lives to Jesus, the anointing of the Spirit comes upon us and flows down into our hearts. And the Holy Spirit becomes our main teacher. He takes the well-known and well-worn truths, and he applies them to our hearts. Now, when it says in verse 27b, the second part of verse 27, you do not need anyone to teach you, he's referring to these Gnostic teachers. He's not saying that you don't need teaching, because we always need teaching, but he's referring to these Gnostics and their higher teaching. And he says, you've got the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will be your main teacher as he takes the Word of God, as he takes the truth, and he keeps putting it into your hearts. Allow the Holy Spirit to fasten old but true truth into your hearts and lives. Jackman says it is his central task to make Jesus real and precious to us, and so enable us to remain in him. So how do we counteract heresies? How do we counteract false teaching? How do we counteract the liar who is alive and well? The church, the truth, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's not spectacular. It's ordinary. But it's what God has given to us so that the liar, when he whispers his heresies, we're able to discern truth from error. Now, in the final 5 minutes, what I want to do is to take the Gnostics and their what they taught and to show how it is in the world today. And I'm doing this with the help of a book, a little book that I've been reading by Mark Sayers. I'm sure nobody in this gathering has heard of him. I hadn't heard of him until I got this book. And it's a book, if you're looking for something to read, it's not a very thick book. I'm always recommending books that are thick and so on, but this is a very thin book. But it's a very good book, because in this book, he takes this Gnostic teaching and he shows how our world, and in fact the church, many more Christians in the church are swallowing Gnosticism. So I would write, you'll not get it in your local bookshop, unfortunately, but Amazon, you will be able to. So it's Mark Sayers, S-A-Y-E-R-S, Disappearing Church, if you're looking for a provocative read. But let me give you a little summary, and it's going to be on screen, of ancient Gnosticism and modern Gnosticism, okay, so that you get a flavor of this today and how what goes around comes around. Ancient Gnosticism taught that the world is inferior. There's something better. And that's slipped down a bit, but it should be, modern Gnostic says, your world is inferior. There's something better than your church world. There's something more than your church world. Your church world is ordinary. Your church world is not really getting it. The ancient Gnostics said matter is the problem. They were against physical matter. Our church says mundane is the problem. This is just too ordinary, this discipline of coming to church, and it's really ordinary, and ordinary people are there, and there must be something more exciting than this. The ancient Gnostics said escape from your body, because they were really into spirit. And your body, the body's imperfect, your body's bad. The modern Gnostic especially in the world, aims at the perfect body. And so the modern Gnostic teaching emphasizes the body. Now, you should be able to see this. I was watching a program last week. Was it Mary Portis? And she was looking at trends in society and the shops that were doing well and the things that were selling well. And one of the things that's doing really well is the trend for male pampering. Okay? Okay? This is resonating. I can sense this is resonating. Okay? So you've heard of metrosexuals. We've now got the spornosexual, and it's mainly male-oriented. And she interviewed this guy who spent £200 a month on stuff to make him look good. Okay? And I would spend £200 a decade on... I'm not talking about clothes. Okay? We're talking hair products, beard products. We're talking shavers that shave parts of the body I'm not going to mention. This is male now, not female. Okay? Not even going to go near the female. I'm just not going there. But it's the body. It's all about building the body. It's all about the abs, and it's looking good. So it's not about escaping from your body. It's making your body as perfect as it can be. It's about worshiping your body. And that actually is, in a sense, is a twist on Gnosticism. So watch that, gentlemen. Okay. The other option is to not look after your body at all, okay, and be a slob. And that's not good either, okay? Okay, the Gnostic says, look to God within you. The ancient Gnosticism, look to God within you. But what we tell you now, because the modern generation doesn't believe in God, says the real you is within you. Search for the real you. Find the real you. Escape to perfect spirit. The old Gnostic said, escape to perfect spirit, but the new Gnostics, the modern Gnosticism is this, escape the mundane. Where the old Gnosticism saw that the earth and physical things and matter was bad and to be avoided, and you had to get this higher spiritual teaching. So the modern Gnostic, and you get this in the church, is the mundane, Sunday by Sunday worship, Bible study, quiet time, all this sort of thing. It's a bit mundane. There's a higher spiritual level. Now, we cannot be more open to the Spirit. But do you see what I'm saying here? It's this idea that this isn't good enough. This is just too mundane, too ordinary. There must be something better than this. Be careful. Be careful. Pursue hidden knowledge. The ancient Gnostics pursued hidden knowledge. The modern Gnostics, it's all about the experience. It's all about the experience. So we'll go to the next conference because it's a good experience. And we live from experience to experience to experience. The ancient Gnostic, it's about finding the real God beyond. Here, the modern Gnostic talks about spirituality. It's all about spirituality. And finally, ancient Gnosticism said, you are a God. But we say it's all about you. It's all about you. God is pushed out. It's all about you. We are consumers. And we become more central. Now, the worrying thing is that list on the right, which is in the world, is getting more and more into the church. That's the worrying trend. I expect all that in the world. But the real worry is, increasingly, I and others are seeing this coming into the church. And it's leading people astray. And people have left this church looking for the things on the right. And currently they're not in any church. In the words of U2, they've not found what they're looking for. But it's here. It's there all the time. Now, I'm not saying everybody who's left this church, don't mishear me. I'm not saying everyone who has left High Kirk, they're all modern Gnostics. That's not the case. Some have moved for good reasons to other churches and so on. And sometimes you're just not a good fit in a church and you need somewhere where you're a better fit. But what I'm saying is that increasingly I'm seeing people who are just going from church to church, unsettled. They're seeking this other experience, this higher teaching, this secret knowledge. But it's there. If you're truly Christ's, if you're truly anointed, and he works through the ordinary means of grace. And that's how he shapes us. And we live in a broken world. It is mundane sometimes because it's broken. But the answer is not to escape the world. The answer is to bring Christ into the world and to recognize we're broken and that his gift of grace frees us from sin and death. Joy and meaning is found in worshiping and serving God and serving each other. We are to pursue Christ-likeness, not building up our perfect bodies or imperfect bodies, but to pursue Christ so that we become more like him. And to commit ourselves to the church, because the church is the foretaste of the coming kingdom. There's a whole pile of stuff there which we haven't time to develop. But here are the strategies of the liar, that we can counteract the liar with the church, with the truth, and with the anointing of the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for the reality check of your word. Help us to keep coming back to you. We thank you. You've given us the church. You've given us the truth. You've given us the Holy Spirit. And with that Trinity, as it were, Lord, help us to go against the evil one, the anti-Christian spirit that is in our world and increasingly is tempting us in the church. May these things resonate with us, impact us for our good and for your glory. Amen.